particularly 1 through 4, but taking a look as well through about verse 15 or so there. So we've been talking about being new in Christ, and the importance of our understanding that our identity has changed in the waters of immersion, that who we actually are, the things that actually matter, that change, that took place in the waters of immersion. Now, within that, it's important to understand that the things that really make a difference, the things that really matter in the realm that we can't see, that all of those things changed. You went from death to life. You went from having that veil of flesh to having that veil of flesh taken away. You went from darkness to light. You went from the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. There's all sorts of things that took place. You're not just the same old sinner who is now clean, but rather you are an entirely new creature in Jesus Christ. And so our identity is in Him. Now, one of the things that doesn't change is that your individualization doesn't change. And I told you that I know that we're kind of walking a little bit. There's some nuance here, but you have to understand that your identity, that is who you really are, has changed, but your individualization hasn't. That is that the question that we should really ask ourselves is, what would Jesus look like in my body? What would Jesus look like in my circumstance, in my situation? Because He's going to look differently for each one of us. He's going to look differently in your situation depending upon the manner of life in which you're in. When you became a Christian, you're going to have different responsibilities. Right? Somebody who is coming into Christ from the world, who's maybe a single mom, well, it's pretty clear what her responsibilities are to be able to serve in the kingdom. It's probably not for her to quit her job and to start full-time ministry like Jesus did when he was 30 years old, right? This is like, hey, you gotta raise these kids, right? We gotta get them going in the right direction, and that her ministry is there for the kids that she's got, right? And so our individualization, God made us to be different too. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of you people are different. I'm normal, but you're different, okay? Right? And so there takes all different types. There are many times where I'm like, I don't know how such and such a person even makes it on a day-to-day basis, but they do day after day, right? And it takes all types to make the world go around, right? Variety is the spice of life, or at least so they tell me. So, you know, it is good that we're different, right? And it's good that we're not all the same. And it's good because we're going to reach different people in different ways as well, right? And our strengths are going to be different. There are some of you that are very comfortable and very extroverted naturally, right? There are others of you that like you're maybe a little bit more introverted and you're studious, right? It takes all sorts of different types. And obviously, like, there's a lot of different types, right? Even more than the 16 Myers-Briggs personality types. There's a lot of different types, okay? There's all sorts of different people with different interests. And the Lord is not trying to strip away our individualization. Specifically, even there in Revelation chapter 2, it talks about how in heaven, we receive a stone with a new name written on it that no one knows except for ourselves. Well, that name isn't Christian. That name is known. We all possess Christ's name. Okay? But we're going to get a stone that's going to be unique to me. That's pretty cool. You're going to get a stone that's unique to you. That's pretty neat. And so, again, God doesn't take away our individualization. You have a different part in the body. Each person is to serve a function, and that function is going to be different than the other parts, and that doesn't make one part superior to another part of the body. One other thing with that is that God also doesn't zap us in the waters of immersion to take away all of our bad habits, okay? He's going to work together with us, with his spirit indwelling inside of us, to be able to transform us into the image of the glorified Christ. But he does not just say, okay, I'm going to take all of these things away from you. Voila. So even though the image and everything that really matters has changed, he's still going to work with you for you to be able to overcome your past habits. But ultimately, our identity is in him. Now, last week we talked about the importance of understanding the principle that we are saved to serve. And I think that the conversation a lot of times gets corrupted or gets twisted because the question becomes, can a person live sinlessly? And I think that that question completely misses the mark. The biblical answer to that is absolutely a person can consistently choose to do good and can choose not to sin. So can a person live sinlessly? Yes. Okay, but the question misses the mark. Because whether a person's focus is not to sin, or whether a person's focus is to be perfect, either one of those focuses, that doesn't feel like good English, but we're going to go with it. Okay, either one of those, okay, is going to get you in the wrong spot. Okay, you're going to end up in the wrong place because your focus is on what do I do or what don't I do. And whenever your focus is internal in that way, and when your focus is basically the law, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, okay, you end up in the wrong place. Because the Lord wants us to look to the glorified Christ and to live and to walk by faith today. The result of living and walking by faith today is that I'm going to serve others. I'm going to care for others. I'm going to do the things that the Lord would have me to do because Jesus is in my body. And just as Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so as our eyes are focused on the glorified Christ, as we're living and walking by faith, the result is that we are going to serve others, and the result is that we are going to live sinlessly. We're going to live perfectly. But if the focus is on trying to live perfectly, it becomes about us. And that misses the mark totally. Use the example of Matthew 5:48, therefore you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah, that's true. And the context is love. And some people who don't actually believe that you can be perfect as Jesus is perfect will be like, oh yeah, well, guess what? That's talking about perfect love. So you're going to love perfectly and somehow still sin? Explain to me how that would work exactly. Yeah. Love perfectly and kick your brother in the shins? Like, I mean, how you love perfectly? If you love perfectly, what is the result of that perfect love going to be? Perfect action or perfect character, right? So, again, this is all coming from the Lord, the Spirit. But we have to understand that our identity is in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to notice the tense on these verbs. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Not he will be a new creature. not, if he works hard enough, then, you know, maybe he'll be able to scratch and crawl his way into heaven someday. No. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That is who he is. And so we talked a little bit in the Sunday school hour about how God expects us to reason together with him. Well, that doesn't just stop, or that doesn't stop when we're immersed into Jesus Christ. God's not like, hey, I want you to reason with me for you to understand that this is necessary for somebody to be able to become a Christian. That's not where the reasoning process stops. Okay, now we have to reason with people to get them to that point. It's not going to be experiential. It's not going to be, let me tell you my testimony. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be reasoning and persuading. Okay, but what we see is that the Lord continues to work together with our mind. And so, as the Lord works together with our mind, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, I don't feel like I'm all that new. What's the Bible say? So the Lord continues to work together with our mind and says, hey, come reason with me. Do you believe not only that what the Scripture says is true, but what the Scripture says about you on an individual basis is true? Because if we don't make individual application of this, what good is the head knowledge? What good is the head knowledge without the individual application of this for the individual Christian? It's like, maybe that'll puff you up, or maybe it'll just make you miserable. But if you're not going to make individual application, if we're not going to say, hey, since Marshall is in Christ, Marshall is a new creature. So all the stuff in Marshall's past is gone, right? And you put your name there, right? He is a new creature, okay? So understand that that is the spiritual reality. A lot of times it's the things of the flesh that try to grab our attention, but we need to understand that it is the realm that is unseen, which is where all the action is really taking place. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read 1 through 4. If then you've been raised up with Christ, and if you've been immersed into him, you have been. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. A couple of things to notice here, okay? Verse 3, you have died. Your old self is dead, is gone, and you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And then verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, not Christ who will be your life, Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be with him, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Well, why is that? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we will be revealed with him in glory. If I take away the veil of something to reveal it, it was already there. And so, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then what? We're revealed with him in glory. Why? Because we're already there. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go over there. Keep your finger there in Colossians 3. We're coming back. Ephesians 2. Starting in verse 4.
But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised, past tense, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which fits with you have died, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory, because that's where we're at. Because we have been seated with Christ on the throne. And so we're with him in the heavenly places. And so where's your brain at? Where's your mind at? Where are you living? Are you living where you're at in the spiritual reality? Or are you walking by sight? Well, it's the things which are unseen, which are eternal, right? It's the things that are unseen that are important. And so just like you didn't see forgiveness of sins, just like you didn't see the indwelling Holy Spirit, just like you didn't see a new creature, there was a new baby born in the waters of immersion, brand new creature in Jesus Christ. But it's the things which are unseen that are the reality. Romans chapter 8. So again, are you going to reason together that what God says he is able to perform? Romans 8, starting in verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but if you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be, may also be glorified with him. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. This is the reality. We're led by the Spirit of God. We are sons of God. And I'm not talking led in some sort of, you know, woo-woo, I've got a feeling sort of a way, right? But, you know, the primary way in which the Spirit is going to lead us is right here. Not the only way, but the primary way in which the Spirit is going to lead us is through his word. But though you got to have the Spirit of God to be a son or a daughter of the King. So we have a spirit of adoption. We have a new father, a new family, and you have to understand these things in the realm of faith. But it is the realm of faith that is the realm of importance. Okay? Again, which eyes are we looking at? Are we looking with our spiritual eyes, or are we looking at with the eyes of flesh? Let's go to Ephesians 3 real quick. A little bit of a detour here, but Ephesians 3. And let's start in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So he's going to grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you may be able to comprehend. Where is this taking place? In the realm of the seen or in the realm of the unseen? The action is in the realm of the unseen. And so we have to live and walk by faith and understand that we are who God says we are. And so it's in the setting of the mind on things above that we overcome. We're talking a little bit about this in the first hour as well, is that the actions that we do and the way that we conduct ourselves, let's say, those things are really a result of what's going on in here and in here. We act in accordance with our individual image of ourselves on a consistent basis. And, you know, the scripture says it this way, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So, you know, you can do, for a period of time, you can censor yourself. It's kind of interesting. Some of these athletes, they know when they're on broadcast television, right? And so, I mean, they do it less these days, but they'll censor themselves, right? You know what they're trying to say. But then, for the sake of the children and the rest of us, thankfully, okay, they say something else, okay? But then you get them on a podcast where, you know, the Federal Communications Division is not listening. They let her fly, right? And so what's happening is there is a temporary censoring of themselves that's taking place so that they don't get fined. Kind of like Marshawn Lynch at interviews. I'm just here so I don't get fined. So they're just doing that so that they don't get fined. Okay? So there's a temporary censoring of themselves. But what happens, okay, behind closed doors, they say what they want to say. Right? Well, in the same way, for a temporary period of time, we can make our actions line up just by will and grit. But if up here and right here doesn't change, the real us comes out. And so that's why God's process is such, so that it is the inside of the cup which is getting cleansed, and the resulting action from that is that our behavior then follows. Because if we try to change the inside from outside pressure, it doesn't work. And so that's why God changes the inside, and then the outside is the overflow of that. So the Lord is helping us to see, okay, this is the result, but it's the process that he wants us to be engaged in. Everybody wants the result. Everybody, okay, so, you know, a lot of you guys know that I played basketball for a very small Christian school and homeschool league in Montana. And we were terrible. I've told you guys how in the first round of the tournament one year we lost 98-33. And it was we met our goal because we kept them under 100, baby. So they had no idea what we were doing when we were stalling with like a minute left to go, down 98-33. And we just wanted them to not hit 100. And we made our goal, right? So, but we were always good enough to make it to tournament and then to get crushed. I never won a tournament game. I went 0-6 in my career, okay? But everybody wanted to win on game day. Everybody wanted to win on game day. The difference between those who were winners on game day and those who went 0-6 at the tournament, we didn't have very many horses either, guys. But those who went 0-6 of the tournament is, who wants it in the off season? Who wants it at practice? Who wants it enough to change what they're putting into their body? Who wants it enough to stay after practice? Who wants it enough to watch tape? See, everybody wants to win the game. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to be seen as a good person. The question is, are you willing to engage in the Lord's process that guarantees victory? And to do that, you have to live and walk by faith and evaluate things not according to these peepers, but according to the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the mind, the things that are going on in the realm of the unseen. So we are who God says we are. In the setting of the mind on the things that are above, that enables us to overcome. If you go back to Colossians chapter 3, I told you we'd get there eventually. Back to Colossians chapter 3. We're not going to read 5 through 17 here. But look over them. You're probably familiar. And I do want to read the first two words of verse 5. It's therefore consider. Therefore consider. So it's going to take active engagement on your part to think about this from God's perspective. Because a lot of times the result in the present time and then in the present realm is not what you expected it to be. You thought, if I do A, I'm going to get B. And that was your human reasoning. But in God's plan, he needs something else entirely to happen. So at that point, the question really becomes, are you willing to trust God's plan? Or do you think that things need to go along the way that you want them to go? See, there's a lot of things that people go through, and it's just part of life, right? You know, people up north in Michigan, a lot of them experienced a whole bunch of power outages this week, right? Like, huge part of the state of Michigan without power. You know, that's no fun, right? When you got 3, 4, or 5 days without power, that's no fun. But I don't think anybody there is targeted to be without power because they were a Christian, right? It's like, it's part of life, right? But there are, you read the scriptures and you get in this thing and start living and walking by faith, you find that there are certain things that as a Christian you have to experience, and it is more difficult because you are a Christian. There's trials and hardships that you go through because you're a Christian. See, Paul didn't encounter shipwrecks and imprisonments because he was on a cruise and his visa expired, right? He was taking the gospel out, right? Bad things happen to people all of the time, and trials and hardships come all of the time. But James chapter 1 talks about that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect works so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's endurance that comes from being a Christian. There's being tested as a Christian that comes through that is over and above just the regular, I need to keep a good attitude because it's not particularly fun to be without power. That's true of the Christian. Like, the Christian has an opportunity to have his character refined, that somebody who's outside of Christ doesn't have the same opportunity. But it's just like, hey man, the power just went out. You gotta have a good attitude or not? Like, am I gonna have a good attitude or not? Like this. But then there's extra stuff, right? It's like, because you're in Christ, you've chosen to walk this path. And for Paul, that resulted in all sorts of, and his companions, that resulted in all sorts of ailments and all sorts of things that they had to overcome and work through. And so in our lives, on an individual basis, things might not necessarily always work out the way that we envisioned them. Even the things that we chose by faith, they didn't necessarily work out the way that we envisioned them. The question is, are you going to lose faith in God, or are you going to consider that the one who promised these things is able to perform that which he promised? Even if it doesn't look like the way that I wanted it to look like. even if it's not what I had envisioned in my mind? Is God able to come up with something even better than what I have envisioned? And so that continuing belief and that continuing reason together is absolutely necessary to set our minds on the realm that is unseen. You'll notice then that as we therefore consider the things that we are to consider is that our body, that we are dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. See, those things are dead to us. We have to view ourselves in that way if we want victory. What? What impurity? What greed? What passion? What evil desire? See, we are those who are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified. That's who the Lord says that we are. That is us putting on the new self. Because as a result of verses 1 through 4, we get verses 5 through 17. See, the process is one thing, the result is another. Our focus is to, our goal is to focus on the process. It's our job to renew our mind. The Lord is not going to renew our mind for us. Right? It is our individual responsibility to renew our mind. But if we'll do that, the Lord will supply all the power. But it's taken on in the realm that we can't see. Do not lie to one another. Lay them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. You know, the Lord knows people, doesn't he? There's all sorts of, that's who we were. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. But now we lay them all aside. Anger. Is that a big one for people? Losing their self-control? What about wrath and malice? How about slander? People run with juicy pieces of gossip, whether they think they're true, not true, might be true, all the time, don't they? Who cares who gets hurt? Abusive speech. All the time. See, the Lord knows people. But the question is, are we those people? Or are we those who have been washed, who have been sanctified, who have been justified? Are we those who have set our mind on the things above? Are we those who have died to the old self and that we are with Christ in glory right now? And so the way that we put on new things and engage in service is by keeping the picture of the new self in focus. That when Christ says, this is who you are, that we keep that picture and we engage with that picture on a consistent basis. That is 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And so then the result of that is that we walk by faith and then we engage in works of faith. And that reinforces who we truly are. See, James talks about how, you know, some will say, I'll show you my faith without my works, but rather I say, I'll show you my faith by my works. See, we're not saved by works. The scripture is really clear on that. But faith produces something. And the something that faith produces is works of faith. Okay? And that's what James is talking about, is that if you have faith, your faith is going to produce something real, and that is that it works. Those are works of faith. And so when we engage in the works of faith, that also reinforces who we really are. God has created this cycle for us to keep focused, to serve, and then as we serve, it then reinforces who we really are in Him. And so God helps us in many different ways keep our image in the right place. See, He's not going to renew our mind for us, but He's going to provide all sorts of tools where He says, okay, this is how you can be successful. If you want to win, If you want to be on the right side of this thing and you want to be those who win, if you want to win not just on game day, but you want to win every day, he's like, here's the tools for you to be able to win. And so, because I'm long-winded, we're not even going to get to the first tool this afternoon. But he does provide the tools. Okay, we're going to talk next week some about how his word is one of those tools for us to be able to win. But he's there. He's wanting us to evaluate things according to the realm that is unseen. He wants us to live and to walk by faith today. The question is, will we see things from his perspective to consider to continue to consider and to reason with him, or are we going to trust the things that our lion eyes have to say? Well, I say that we choose the spiritual eyes and that we look at the glorified Christ. Bob?